Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Progressive presents Don't Do It Yourself.
Okay, read me the manual.
Using a Phillips screwdriver, drainte die Haube, bis if it sits.
What was that?
Drainte die Haube, bis if it sits.
This sounds like another language to me.
Okay, maybe we should bundle our home and auto with Progressive. We could save big, then pay someone to do it for us.
Maybe. What's next?
Next, Pony Ostium Pronus Intera.
Was that one Latin?
Save when bundling home and auto with Progressive and use the money to, you know, not do it yourself. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
In Asia, it's the match reaction at 4. Everton 0, West Ham United 1. Difficult day for the Blues today at Goodison Park. First home defeat of the season. Perfect record at Goodison is over and done with. Joined by Rob Vera. Just disappointing, Rob, wasn't it?
Yeah.
One of those, I don't think, you know, we sort of got by, we scrapped through, we've toiled and toiled over the past few weeks and got some good results, we've had some key players, but I put a half time today, obviously, even when it was still 0-0, but I think the loss of Dom, the loss of Richarlison and the loss of Mina, you felt it today. And in the ground, they look like a team that were without some leaders and they look like a team that were without some key attacking players. And I think probably that was the difference today between the two sides, I'd say.
Yeah, I kept thinking about it as I scarfed down some breakfast after the game. Like I was trying to think about coming on here since we were recording a little bit later than usual, if my thoughts on the match would evolve much. And really, I think we can probably be prone to over analysis in a case like this. But to your point, yeah, I think that not to oversimplify it, but we lost by a goal that was conceded. I mean, you can make the argument about whether or not the ref should have called a foul on Antonio for, you know, like once Pickford was kind of touched in the box or what have you, but it was by the technical definition, if they're not going to call that, it's a corner. And then Godfrey gets beaten in the air on a ball that I imagine Yerry Mina probably doesn't get beat on. Rondon misses a flick just wide with his head on a chance. Awobi misses a chance. Those are spots where you think that Calvert-Lewin or Richarlison might do better. And I think we talked about it earlier this week on Kickabout. This has been really nice the way that Everton have found a way to persist despite these absences, but you can't survive on that kind of that lack of or that much talent, that much money, whatever you want to call it, on the sidelines in every case, especially when you come up against a quality West Ham side who had everyone for the most part fit. It felt like the proverbial Cinderella story or night at the ball had kind of come to a bit of an end there. But I don't want to I don't want to make too much of what this game means in the bigger picture of things. I think that the absence has just caught up with Everton, and clearly today was just a reminder that I don't think anyone really needed, frankly, that we need some of these players back. Even if, and I said this on Twitter after the game, even if we can just get two of three back of Mina, Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin, and there's lots of, you know, whispers that Calvert-Lewin could still be out, you know, significantly longer. Even with Richarlison back, that would make a huge difference. Mina clearly is someone whose role is very, very important to, you know, this side, but I didn't think our defenders played that badly except for the goal today. I mean, I think it was just, it's a game of fine margins. Everton have won in this game of fine margins up to this point, especially at Goodison, but today they came up short because they are shorthanded.
Yeah, and I think it's made even more tangible, isn't it? The fact that, you know, I think you come out of a game about three or four best players and obviously say we missed them. But I think what made it even worse today was the fact, like you said, that you had the goal, which Yerry Mina probably will deal with in that situation because he's so dominant in the air. And it's the two chances before as well that, you know, West Ham score, you know, Iwobi literally misses the ball in the left wing position or left forward position where Richarlison would be. He would score that. Rondon misses a chance where he is middle of the goal. It's a ridiculous cross from Townsend, absolutely begging to be put in. And he doesn't get enough on it. And Dominic Calvert-Lewin probably gets on the end of that. And there's another one as well early in the first half where Damari Gray, who I thought was our best player today, thought he was really good throughout the game. Obviously, didn't get a goal or an assist, but I think he deserves credit for the way he played. But, you know, early in the second half, he beats his man, gets across in left footed right across the 6-yard box. And you're thinking, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's on the pitch, he's on the end of that, you know, sliding in as he does and sticking it away. But I think, you know, the manager's done so many great things, Rob, since he's come in. But yeah, I think he did get it wrong today in regards to. But the one key selection, I think, was Anthony Gordon not playing and Alex Iwobi starting. And I just felt like that was really harsh on Gordon. You know, I think we were speaking on Kickabout in the week and I was saying that I really hope Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison are both fit, but I also want to see Anthony Gordon play because he deserves it for the way he applied himself and the way he grafted and grafted and grafted in that game at Old Trafford. And I just think it was a bit tight on him, really, just not getting the nod today. Because it wasn't like he played well in the cup game against, like, a lower league side and, you know, does some flashy stuff when you're playing against the Premier League team. You know, he went to one of the toughest places to go in the Premier League and you know, showed he can be trusted defensively, showed he can offer something going forward, and just a bit sly, I thought, that he was taken out today.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you. I mean, I thought a lot about that and I wondered, you know, how much of this are we 2 weeks on slightly overstating Gordon's performance at Old Trafford a little bit, maybe, but I do think he was very good. And really, I think the idea of the whole carrot and stick thing, the thing we've talked about with giving guys like Gordon, who we have developed, carving out a role. And it did, again, he did come on, but I also thought that one thing that really compounded the mistake of potentially not starting Gordon today was the mistake of then making these substitutions, I think, a little too late, frankly. And to you know, in defense of Benitez, he's got very little to work with on that bench right now. It's just the nature of having a thin squad when you didn't spend any money in the summer. And I think that I think that with Gordon, I think it felt almost like a bit of overthinking to not start Gordon today, maybe is the best way to say it. I think he just kind of, he did plenty. He was very positive and he did enough to, you know, if Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin are both going to be out, to just keep his place in the side. I do think that Iwobi, for as much as he struggled in the first half in some ways, I understand the idea, because Iwobi still came back later in the game and he still was part of some of our best chances. He still has an ability to kind of out of nowhere create something. And I get when you have 2 weeks on a training pitch to just look at your players, that someone like Iwobi is probably going to look pretty impressive in that scenario. And maybe Benitez got a little seduced by that today. But Having said all of that, I you could start Gordon today. I don't know that that necessarily makes the difference, given the other absences that we had, but I did think it was a bit harsh on him. And again, all Anthony Gordon can continue to do is continue to fight for, and or justify, a role in this squad, because even when, you know, once Richarlison is back, which we think will probably be sooner than Calvert-Lewin, I mean, it's going to be up to Gordon to justify minutes off the bench. He's got to find a way in that role to make an impact, given where things are at in the squad right now. And so I'm hopeful that he can. I wish he'd started today, but I felt like the starting decision to put, there were a couple of key decisions. One was obviously not to start, was to start Iwobi today. The other was the election to not start Yerry Mina today, which I get. I mean, I think that you have to look at the big picture. I think it was tempting probably to start him today, but I also kind of understand off the back of three straight 90 plus minute performances and a trip halfway around the world that you have to kind of give him some time. So I think the manager, that plus the late substitutions today, didn't really give Everton the best chance. But again, having said all of those things, Everton were right in it and they had chances. Even late on, Gray's shot that Zuma found a way to block, I think that was going straight into the back of the net for an equalizer. It just felt like the little fine margins went West Ham's way and they went against us today.
Yeah, very similar to the game we played against them towards Christmas last year, where there wasn't really anything in it, but just felt like they had a little bit more depth at the key points in the game. But I don't, you know, all that in consideration, Rob, I don't think we started the game well at all. You know, and I think Iwobi in particular, he gets the ball and plays it straight to Rice, who's got no blue shirt around, and right in the centre of midfield after 2 minutes. And immediately there's groans and there's, you know, people getting on his back and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I don't know what it was. We just sort of stepped off them a little bit early in the game. And for the first 20 minutes, you know, West Ham played well, don't get me wrong, but just not aggressive enough, not positive enough. And I think the other thing you lose with Dom and Richarlison as well is that, you know, Rondon and Gray have got the qualities, but they're not very good at stopping that ball coming into the midfield. They don't really necessarily hold the best shape up there. And West Ham liked us everywhere a little bit, didn't they, in those first 20, 25 minutes?
Yeah, the first 20 minutes, I even wrote down in my notes that there's something a bit off kilter about us all the way around. We were kind of getting overrun in midfield. Clearly, I thought defensively we were, and maybe you're doing this because you're trying to kind of get things going in a sort of frenetic, sharp manner by doing some of the quick passing. But I thought our passing was all over the place. A lot of cheap giveaways early on that I think helped West Ham build some momentum going forward. And really, they didn't end up really creating that many great chances out of it. But I do think that the amount of possession and the ability to get forward against us just kind of kept us on our back heels, and we eventually recovered. But by then it was, you know, a good half hour into the game before we could get settled. And so I think that it kind of created a sense that we were sort of on the back foot for the entire day. And while we, and I certainly acknowledge how generally good we've been in second halves this season, I think that's a real testament to our fitness and to the adjustments that the manager makes. You can't get away from the idea that a better start is going to be something that we still have to kind of work through as an issue with this squad in terms of really, especially at Goodison. I don't expect us to have the majority of possession, but I believe in the first 20 odd minutes, 20 to 25 minutes, it was something like 80% possession for West Ham. And that's far too much. I mean, you can make the argument that, hey, you're set up to absorb some pressure and hit on the counterattack, but not at that level, especially not at home. It's got to be better. The absences explain quite a bit of that, but ultimately compared to this relatively same cast that came out against other teams over the last few weeks, this definitely felt like a slower start, a more flat start than usual, for sure.
Yeah, like I said, we did sort of get into the game a little bit at that point and started to grow into it. And you could argue we have the best chance, really. I've not seen the Iwobi one back Yeah, Rob. But
I watched it several times.
He wasn't at the game today. He was watching it on the telly, but he said he effectively just missed the ball. Was it quite as bad as that?
Well, I mean, yeah, look, it's. I think the easy reaction is to be like, oh, he just whiffed on the ball. I will say, when you go back and watch the replays, the one, I think he easily just brushes that into the net, if not for Rondon making a move towards that ball that I think just slightly put off Iwobi's timing. Again, I'm not trying to totally excuse Iwobi there. He's still got to get something on that. I worry that even if he had, it would have probably just been kind of a meek effort towards goal. But he absolutely whiffed on it because I think that he thought that Rondon was going to get a touch on the ball. And Rondon, but if you go to the replay, he definitely was trying to get a touch on the ball for sure. It's just an odd fit in there with Rondon right now and with Iwobi in those positions. But yeah, he's got to do better. And Iwobi just, it always feels that way with him, right? He is, I joke sometimes about the art of almost, you know, that Iwobi is someone who he will have a good game and then he gets real quiet and then he'll have a good game and he gets quiet again. And he has an opportunity to really make an impact, especially when you have some significant players missing and really begin to turn that corner. And he just doesn't quite get there, and it's frustrating for sure. Iwobi struggled in the early stages, and I think that epitomized the overall struggle that Everton had to maintain any sort of offensive momentum. Ultimately, he got into the game a little bit better. He started creating a few chances, but ultimately, Iwobi just wasn't able to quite get where he needed to be in terms of finishing some things off. But that was certainly a gilt-edged chance today. And I think if you want to try to take positives out of some aspects of the attack, it's what you'd mentioned before about Demarai Gray, Andros Townsend. Again, both of them creating chances that have a chance to get finished off. You'd like to think that Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin, who, by the way, we know that they sometimes don't always get every chance, finish every chance that we'd like them to as well. So I want to be a little fair here, but you do rate their chances much higher to finish off some of those opportunities. And I think it'll be really key that when Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin situation with those two are back, that we still see that production from Gray and Townsend, because it does appear to be something that has been quite sustainable so far.
Yeah, you mentioned Rondon there, Rob. I think for the first few weeks of his Everton career and the first few games of his Everton career, I think a lot of people have been very happy to give him the benefits of the doubt and appreciate he's not played much football. He's come from a different league. But I think being in the ground today, it was I think it was the first time that people had started to really turn on him a little bit and get frustrated with him a little bit. And I don't know if it was the same watching the television and what people were saying in regards to the coverage there, but he just looked miles off it. Just completely, his touch wasn't quite there. And I always remember him when he was at West Brom and Newcastle as this player that when you saw on the team sheet against you, you thought he's going to be horrible to play against him today. You know, he's physical, he wins everything in the air, he can move into the channels a little bit as well. And there's not really been any of that so far. And I know it's tough for him. I know he's been thrown in a difficult situation in a new team, not playing much football. But I think that was his fifth start for us now, maybe. I'm not sure about that, but he's played a lot of football. Now he's had 2 weeks over the break, obviously, to sort of try and get up to speed. But, I mean, he's just... Well, to put it kindly...
It's a huge drop-off. It's a huge
downgrade
off.
From Dominic Calvert-Lewin, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, it's... I think that there's multiple layers to this. One, I want to say that I have a ton of admiration for Rondon as a person and as a professional, as someone who has really maximized his talent to stick in the highest level of, you know, of European football for and world football for as long as he has. I think that there's no, I don't get the sense whatsoever that he is in any way giving anything less than 100% of himself. But his particular style, and a lot of people say that, hey, he has a similar style in terms of his approach to the position that the Calvert-Lewin does. Obviously, the difference is, you know, one of those two is 10 years younger and is at the just athletic pinnacle of his career. And Rondon is someone whose gifts have begun to wane. And you combine that with the fact that he was sort of thrown in, didn't really have any time to ramp up fitness wise. And you can't really be surprised when you consider all the factors that he struggled a bit. And look, I don't mean to be dismissive, but there is a point where you sort of get what you pay for. Everyone wanted to see the back of Moise Keane as quickly as possible. And there was just this idea that literally anyone would be better than him, or that we could make it work, and that, you know, Calvert-Lewin is always fit, so don't worry about it. I mean, look, it's been the worst case scenario from that standpoint. You take two players in Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin who have arguably, and maybe not even arguably, been Everton's most reliably fit and available players over the last few years, who suddenly are unavailable for a long stretch of time. And suddenly Everton, who have done pretty well coping with it up to this point, I think that the opposition really begins to figure out how to key on those particular weaknesses. And right now there's just too big of a drop off between Calvert-Lewin and Rondon. If this was Rondon of even 2 or 3 years ago, you know, I think we're having a different conversation, but Rondon looks like a guy who is a stopgap player who will be here for a very short period of time. And I don't think anyone can be totally surprised by that. I think the question then becomes, if the injury to Calvert-Lewin is more serious than thought, I think the bigger question becomes, what is the plan at striker if Calvert-Lewin, let's say, can't come back until December, and even then he probably has to work his way back into shape and into match fitness. You know, does this club, who traditionally doesn't spend in January, actually have to go out and take some of that James Rodriguez savings and make some sort of move? When really the right back position has to be addressed, and there are other things that have to be addressed too. It's a quandary that Everton are in of their own making, and I think it's just going to. I think that it further underlines how important it is for Richarlison to get back when he is fully fit and ready to get back. It looks like he's close, but I anticipate Richarlison being the main striker extended period of time, if in fact the rumors about Calvert-Lewin having a more serious injury are indeed true.
Yeah, dear me, that wouldn't be nice at all. But are you surprised he stayed on for the full 90 minutes, Rob, today? I mean, it did just sort of feel like the, you know, Lewis Dobbin, you know, he brought him on at Old Trafford when we're trying to see how to draw the other week, and to not bring him on when you're trying to get a goal late in the game. It seems like a bit of, you know, I would have at least flung him on. You know, I'm not by any means saying the lads would have come on and scored and grabbed us a point, but surely something different at the top end of the pitch would have helped, because I think Zouma and Ogbonna probably won't have an easier day than that all season, really.
No, and that was going back to what we talked about earlier. I felt like Benitez held on a bit too long before making any substitutions, and to not sub off Rondon at a certain point was, I mean, again, some of that is just because of the lack of options he has, maybe, but you know, I either put Dobbin on or I bring on Gordon in place of Iwobi, move Gray into some kind of false nine position, and then, you know, and then get on someone else, and then you just kind of at least take a chance with some odd fits, but at least some young fresh legs out there. I just think that, you know, whatever he has in experience and kind of veteran savvy is sort of undercut, especially late on in a game where he's beginning to labor. It's just undercut by that lack of any discernible pace or real danger. I mean, outside of the the chance that he just got his head barely on that went just wide of the net earlier. He really didn't have any other opportunities. So I don't know you were really going to be losing a ton, especially since we weren't pressuring that effective in particular. So I don't know what you lose by taking him off. But again, we've seen this. I don't know how many times we have to see it, guys. Like, veteran managers, it just takes a lot for them to really, in those situations, trust, even though it may feel and look obvious to us, it's hard for them to take off someone like Rondon with his experience for a kid. and that's whether that's fair or not, whether it's right or not, is almost beside the point. That's just kind of how all of these managers operate on some level. And it just, again, it speaks to the serious lack of depth we have in those attacking positions.
Yeah. And I'll say as well, just sort of finish off, fair play to West Ham. I thought they were pretty good today. And
yeah,
David Moyes just built a really handy side there. And, you know, they are ultimately ahead of us a little bit at the moment. And
yeah,
that's kind of where it is. I thought Rice and Suchek were really good in midfield. But disappointing for us. Watford next week. So
got to win it.
Just obviously after the ramshackle display yesterday, they'll turn up like Arrigo Sacchi's AC Milan team next week at Goodison Park. So, but no, in all seriousness, there's no excuse for the Blues next week. Yeah, we'll leave it there, Rob. Thanks very much for coming on. Appreciate everyone's patience. Sorry, this was a little bit later than usual. This Sunday game, no one wants to go into it. No one wants to talk about it, obviously. Everyone's a bit knackered, but we'll have a full cast back from next week, back in Rigby's. But I'm sure everybody will be delighted to hear Rob's thoughts straight after the game as well.
Hey, Matt, can I plug something coming up? And I say this confidently because I've got it on his calendar, and you know how he is about his calendar. But I've actually somehow managed to pull off a coup and get Patty Boylan in for Kickabout this week. I know. I can't believe that the Cold War appears to be over and he's going to actually come on the Kickabout. I'm going to be up for the next few nights, probably with no sleep, trying to come up with an agenda because, as Patty told me very explicitly, he does not want to host. So I got to come up with some content, guys. If you have any ideas about what I should ask the Athletics, Patrick Boylan, please don't hesitate to let me know.
Yeah, plenty to talk about after the game at the weekend, certainly. But yeah, that's to come later this week, of course, with all your usual stuff as well. But that's it from us today. Yeah, disappointing day at Goodison Park, but fingers crossed the Blues can turn it around next week against Watford.
Progressive presents Married to Your Home.
I'm such a screw-up.
What? House? Why would you talk like that?
How are you even with a house without a walk-in closet?
Stop. You have more than enough storage.
Oh, yeah, and the unfinished basement. Gross.
We'll finish it eventually. Together.
No matter how much you already love your house, you'll love it more knowing you could save big bundling your home and auto with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.